11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
He shoots, he scores, goal.
Scoring the goals.
Welcome along to a first for the league podcast. Normally, Pete Farris and I are sat in the comfort of a lovely warm studio. Today, we're sat in the comfort of our lovely warm homes, but our respective homes, Pete. I'm not sat at yours and you're not sat at mine. We're on Skype. This is technology in the making, Pete.
I think it's already been made, but yeah.
Do you reckon? We're the first ones to do this, aren't we?
I think probably, yeah. I mean, it is nice to be able to record a podcast from your bed. My bed, not your bed.
Yeah, my bed. I don't want you anywhere near my bed. We've had this discussion before, and I will never change on that. We're going to have a look at the Championship games. As usual, we've got a few on the TV this weekend. We're also going to look at Pete's best bets in League 1 and League 2. Then we'll have both teams to score double. It landed last week, which was nice. And then we'll both pick a nap each. Neither of ours landed last week, which isn't particularly nice. We'll start off with the Friday night game, and a game which has got a little bit about it at the moment. It's Middlesbrough versus Doncaster Rovers. Borough are 8-11 to win this one at home. The draw is 5-2, and it's 100-30 for Doncaster Rovers to win up in the North East. Sonny Rovers' last game, of course, was a pretty poor 4-1 defeat at Reading. And most of the news has been about Middlesbrough, Pete. Obviously, it's no surprises and no secret that it's your hometown club. The 4-1 win over Yeovil is the only win you can find anywhere, really. And that 3-2 defeat at Barnsley spelt the end for the manager, who, I mean, it's always a bit of a pull at the heartstrings when a legend leaves a club. It can't have been an easy decision for anyone to make that one.
No, and certainly not for Steve Gibson as well, who likes to give managers a huge amount of time before he axes them. The Strachan thing, it had to happen. I stand by to this day the fact that Gareth Southgate probably should have been given more time. But as much of a hero as Tony Mowbray is to the club, to the region, the fact of the matter is, with the collapse in form from January, I mean, if Borough had a solid second half of the season, didn't make it, but started the season like this, he wouldn't have gone. But the collapse at the beginning of January onwards, it was an untenable situation for Tony Mowbray, truth be told. Two wins this season, seven since New Year's Day. It is not good enough for a side who've got the wage budget that Borough have got. So it is a shame, but it's not a huge amount of difference for this game. Mark Venus, a man who follows Tony Mowbray everywhere as his assistant, will be the man in charge for this match. So it's not like it's a complete difference, but even that can sometimes shock a team into a response. The manager is gone, and that can really shock a team into a response. But do you really want to be back in Middlesbrough at 8-11 in this game? I mean, 8-11.
It's too short, isn't it? It's way too short.
Way too short.
Even if they win, it's way too short.
Yeah, it is. It's as simple as that, Lee. 8-11 is just not a backable price. The traders for me should be trading Borough maybe even 11-8 here, because surely they want to try and entice people into a bet. Surely, because Mowbray has gone, and therefore maybe punters will finally go, well, maybe that's time to jump on Borough now. But 8-11, there's absolutely, I'm not touching that with a barge pole. And you look at Doncaster, they've lost their captain, Rob Jones. He's broken his arm. Their form isn't great. Battered away at Reading last time out. Won just one away game this season. But on the flip side, they've lost only two. A couple of draws in there as well. So their form is poor, but so are Borough's. And you look at it and you say, do I want to back Doncaster at 100-30? No. They're not worth that value either. So it's a game where you look at the outrights and you say, good God, what I want to do is not the right price. It's too short on either side, and the draw is a little hard to call at 5-2. So for me, the bet that's better than Middlesbrough to win the game is over 2.5 goals at 4-5. It's only marginally better than Borough to win the game. But overs has only landed twice at home for Borough, so small worry there. But both teams to score has landed every single time at home. And you only need one more to land. When I see both teams to scores, even if it's generally unders, I'll always feel slightly more confident about the over 2.5 because you know the team is scoring, you know the team is conceding, and therefore if one more goal gets thrown into that mix, you've landed. So that's the probably the way in for me there. As for Doncaster, 3 of 5 times away from home, overs has landed. And Borough's games have goals on the telly. So all of these things put together, I think it's better than the price on the outright for Middlesbrough. But it, of course, gives you some much-needed safety. Over 2.5 match goals, 4 to 5. The also the one worth looking at is a man who's been in a bit of form for Middlesbrough goal scoring rise recently, which is Albert Adoma. 7 to 4 any time for him. He, of course, was told to book his ideas up a couple of weeks ago by Tony Mowbray. That certainly appears to have happened in the last 3 or 4 games. 7 to 4 any time for Adoma.
Yeah, and plus, I suppose, if it, not like they had a fractious relationship or anything, but you know, maybe if he wasn't the favourite, you often see with players like that, they get a little bit of a spring in the step when the manager, who maybe they didn't see eye to eye with.
It wasn't fractious as such. Just no. Tony Mowbray came out and was very honest and said, yeah, he hasn't played as well as he needs to. Probably needs to improve a little bit.
Yeah, you know what footballers are like. Egos the size of the Titanic. Barnsley versus Sheffield Wednesday next. This is on the Saturday lunchtime TV. It's a Yorkshire derby, of course, and a pretty feisty one. It's the small town mentality versus the big city, if you like. And that's kind of from both sides of it. I'm not calling Barnsley a small town in relation to Sheffield. That's just what Sheffield Wednesday think of them. And that's why Barnsley gets so hot under the collar when they're playing them. 11-8, the Tykes. 11-5, the draw. And the Owls are 7-4. Now we look at the league position of these two teams, and it's not great viewing. 22nd Barnsley with 8 points, Sheffield Wednesday 23rd with 7 points. The only thing that Sheffield Wednesday have got in their favour is a game in hand and a much better goal difference. Hard to find a win for Sheffield Wednesday. In fact, you won't find one this season, of course. Last time they won a game was a 2-0 win over Middlesbrough in May. Lots of draws, to be fair to them. 3 successive 1-1 draws in the Championship, home and away. Barnsley's only win recently was that win that we mentioned against Middlesbrough. Before that, they'd beaten Huddersfield 2-1. Pete, again, like I say, feisty game. I'm sure there'll be a bit tasty at Oakwell for this one. And it's really one of those where one of these teams needs a win. You know, a draw, which most people will think, oh yeah, draw. A draw really isn't good enough at this stage of the season for me.
No. And if you look at Sheffield Wednesday, their company is beginning to fall away, isn't it? Sheffield Wednesday, of course, no league wins so far this season. Now one of only very few teams. I think it was one of only 3 teams in all of the lower leagues. Accrington Stanley won last night, so all of a sudden Sheffield Wednesday, there's even more trouble for them in terms of no winning, and they're on their own. Barnsley look like a really good bet for me here, and I think it could be. I think Barnsley could see off 2 managers in 2 weeks, because I wouldn't be surprised to see if Sheffield Wednesday lose this game, which I think they actually will do. Dave Jones, I think his time will be up as well. It could well be that the Barnsley are the manager killers. Barnsley's form isn't fantastic, you know, and their general season so far, 8 points from, 12 games, is not fantastic either. But if you break down their home form, it's actually very good. This is the thing people forget about Barnsley. It's actually very good. Okay, they were smashed. First home game of the season by Wigan. Since then, they've drawn with Charlton, they've beaten Huddersfield, drawn with Reading, beaten Middlesbrough, and in between all that, had a heavy loss to Watford. But the point is, they've beaten Middlesbrough. They've beaten Huddersfield in what is another, you know, Yorkshire derby. They've held their own against Reading. And yet Sheffield Wednesday, while they're not losing a huge amount, just 2 away losses all season. Of 7 games, they've lost 2, haven't they? In, sorry, 6 games, they've lost 2 and drawn 4. Both teams to score has landed in every single Sheffield Wednesday away game so far this season. I'm building something here, Lee. Stick with me. So both teams to score in this would be step number one. But I look at Barnsley's home form, and I know that the draw is in there a lot for Sheffield Wednesday. I'm not stupid. I appreciate that Sheffield Wednesday are hard to beat. But I don't know. I feel like we're reaching a tipping point with the Owls a little bit at the moment. And the 11-8 is very good for Barnsley, I think. I actually think they can win this game. The 7-10 draw, no bet, is good. But for punters this weekend, in what is becoming an increasingly popular market, Barnsley and both teams to score is 7-2. Now, first of all, Lee, you've got to have this in your both teams to score coupon, I think.
It's in there.
All the games so far for Barnsley's had both teams to score. Every single Sheffield Wednesday away game's had it.
The only problem is it's 13 to 20.
Well, there you go.
You know, but, you know.
But I actually think after how Barnsley played, I know the second half, Borough blew a hell of a lot of chances against Barnsley. Second half, they scored two very late goals when Barnsley maybe felt they had the game won. But I think Barnsley's home form is good enough to oppose Sheffield Wednesday here. And I also think that it may well be time for David Jones. And I will be very happily playing 7-2 Barnsley and both teams to score.
Yeah, I get that. It is. It's got a big circle around it. Just the price it's puts you off, but if it lands, who cares about the price so much, eh? Let's have a look at another Yorkshire derby. This one's a West Yorkshire derby, and it's at 12:30 on Saturday afternoon. It's not on the TV. I think that's just for the police's sake, really. The John Smith, this one. Huddersfield Town versus Leeds United, and again, a bit of spice between these two teams generally, for the similar reasons. Huddersfield Town are 14th with 14 points plus two goal difference. Leeds United 17 points from their 12 games, and their ninth, a great win and a much needed win with four goals from Leeds United to beat Birmingham on Sunday on the TV, that one. The previous home game to that had been 2-1, but their away form hasn't been too clever. They lost to Derby, lost to Millwall, lost to Newcastle in the Cup, which is fair enough, and lost to Reading. You could make excuses for probably all four of those in a sense. Huddersfield, their away form hasn't been great, but home is where they've been picking the points up, Pete, isn't it? They lost to Watford last time out. That was the first home loss that they'd had this season, wasn't it? And, you know, they've had a 5-1 win in there against Bournemouth. They've beaten Charlton twice in League and Cup. So maybe their home form's a little bit massaged, and maybe the Leeds United away form could be made excuses about. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's maybe fair. I think that's probably fair, actually, but there is one factor you've missed out in there, which makes Leeds a fantastic bet for me. James Vaughan is gone.
I was leaving it to you.
He's suspended. Of course, he was sent off against Leicester. Now, when you consider that he's got 9 of their league goals so far this season at Huddersfield, he's got 9 of their league goals, okay? Which, you know, is a lot. And then you say, well, okay, Peter, but how many have Huddersfield got this season? 14. So he's got 9 of 14. There's only 5 goals that have come from other places for Huddersfield so far this season. Now, there is an argument, of course an argument, that you say, well, you say that about any team. They take out their best striker and all of a sudden their goals fall away. But then you also say, well, yeah, but there's other people who can step up and score. Who else is there for Huddersfield, really, generally, who can step up and score? James Vaughan has led the line superbly this season. I know that I think Lynch has got a goal this season. Adam Clay and Adam Hamill have scored from memory. And there are one or two others, of course, who registered. But there's not a huge amount of players who've scored goals for them this season. And if you look at the other striking options, Patterson, Scannell, Stead, no goals. So all of a sudden, you're putting a Leeds into this that played unbelievably well the other night. They were blistering in their victory. Jonathan Buck and a colleague of ours went to that game, and albeit he is often very complimentary of Leeds, where possibly they don't deserve it, I think for the sounds of things, quite rightly. Now, Birmingham, we'll talk about, are a dreadful side at times, away from home especially, but Leeds, I think, took such a massive boost. Now, those two wins they've had in the last three have both been at home. There's no argument about that. But for me, Leeds win this game. 9-5, I think, is massive. To get draw or no bet 21-20 against a side who aren't really packing their most important player. To get odds against, and you consider that Leeds, I think, are starting to find their feet. And when we know that when Brian McDermott gets a team on a run, they're a very hard team to stop. We saw it with Reading. We've seen it, you know, several times with Reading, really, when you think about it. There was a couple of times in the Championship where he had 8 or 9 game winning streaks. 6 or 7 game winning streaks in the season before when he took over from Brendan Rodgers. So the guy knows how to keep momentum going. Momentum's the word. And for me, odds against 21-20 is Leeds. Leeds is fantastic draw, no bet. We don't at the moment have goal scorer markets. And we said that when Leeds win, Ross McCormack scores. And of course, against Birmingham, Ross McCormack scored and Leeds won. So when it goes live, or if you're looking for a goal scorer bet this weekend, Ross McCormack will be one as well.
Very good. Can't argue with much of that, apart from the fact that Greece is the word. But you know, you probably weren't to know that. Derby County versus Birmingham next. This is 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. Derby are 3-4. Birmingham 100-30, and the draw is priced up at a price that I haven't written down in a legible fashion, but I will guess it's 5-2. Yeah, 5-2. I really should write better. It's been long enough since I learnt. Let's have a look at the form then. Derby County, 8th with 18 points from 12 games. Just moving along quite nicely, Derby, all of a sudden. Birmingham down in 20th with 10 points from their 12 games after that thumping by Leeds that we mentioned. Birmingham's away form is just dreadful, really. Like we said last week, you can make excuses. Haven't scored a goal against QPR, Burnley, Reading or Leeds and have been beaten 1, 3, 2 and 4 by them. Before that, they conceded 3 at Yeovil in the League Cup but got thrown penalties. As for the home form for Derby County, bit of a mixed bag, but they're scoring goals, Pete, aren't they? You know, they had that little blip at home against Burnley and Reading. But either side of that, they beat Brentford 5-0 in the Cup, put 4 past Ipswich and 3 past Leeds United. They're a strange side, Derby, aren't they? They're capable of beating anyone the day, and they could put goals past this Birmingham side.
And the fact is that since the McLaren signed the contract to be the new Derby County manager, they haven't lost. I mean,
yeah, looked, I mean, and the goal, I don't know what he's done, but the goals are scoring. 3 at Watford, 3 at Leeds. I mean, it's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 17 goals in 3 matches Derby have had. Scored and conceded, that is. Of course, he was in the stands for that 4-4 draw with Ipswich Town. Did go down at half-time, but it's a very strange situation. And if you look at the last 5 games, generally you've had over 3.5, under 1.5, over 7.5, over 3.5, and over 4.5. Now, the over 2.5 in this game is 8-11. And the over 3.5, which is eminently backable, is 2-1. Now, the only problem you've got is that in order for that to happen, you'd imagine you need Birmingham to register a goal. And it's something you quite rightly indicated they haven't done in the last 4 away games. I'm happy to have the over 2.5 at 8-11 for maybe an over 2.5 hacker you're putting together. Or, if you fancy it, you know, a Derby in over 2.5 goals, which, in terms of this market anyway, Derby in over 2.5, you'll find in the market at 6-4. Now, Birmingham's away form is too bad, I think, to go into this game against Derby for you to expect anything from Birmingham. I mean, it's not just the fact they haven't scored and narrowly lost. They narrowly lost to QPR, who narrowly beat everyone. But a 3-2 loss against Leicester is narrow, but not great. They conceded 3. 3-0 loss to Burnley. 2-0 loss to Reading. 4-0 loss to Leeds. And Derby scoring goals, they beat Leeds 3-1. If you're looking at collateral form, they beat Leeds 3-1. They've beaten Watford 3-2. They are playing football that is very, very handy and very, very clever, I think, at the moment, Derby. And they just look excellent. Truth be told, they just look excellent. For me, the Derby in over 2.5 is good, but if I'm putting a bet up for the listeners here, I want a bit of security. And race to 2 goals, Derby County, is even money. Now, for those of you who don't know, I did have a tweet about the race to 2 the other day. It's for your team to score 2 goals before your opponents. They've got to score 2, but if they do that before their opponents, you've landed your bet. Now, they did it against Leeds, obviously. They didn't do it against Ipswich, but they scored 4 in the game. Against Watford, of course, crazy game. They did it there as well. Birmingham City would have lost that race, you know, in their 4 of the last 5 games away from home. And you're not relying on Birmingham to score. So all in all, I think race to 2 even money for Derby is good. The race to 3 at 11-4 is not to be ignored, by the way. But the race to 2 even money is, I think, probably where I would pitch myself here.
Very good. Let's have a look at a team you mentioned there, Reading. They're at home. They're playing Millwall in the Championship. It's 8-13 Reading, 14-5 the draw, Millwall are 19-5. Reading in the top 6, just a point ahead of Watford, with 22 points from their 12 games, and been very good at home so far this season. No defeats and just the 2 draws. Last seen beating Doncaster Rovers 4-1 at the Medeski, also beating Leeds and Birmingham in a 3-game winning streak. Millwall, well, their away form it's a strange one, really, Pete, isn't it? I mean, they haven't really beaten anyone of note so far away from home, and they've had a couple of really bad results, haven't they? Like recently, Birmingham 4-0, Bournemouth 5-2. I mean, that Bournemouth result, I mean, that surely would worry. Now, I know Bournemouth have picked up a lot, but you know, considering 9 goals in 2 away games, Reading must be licking their lips here.
They've conceded 11 goals in 3 games, which is a very, very worrying thing. Now, pre-season, everyone, quite understandably, you know, they brought in a manager who had got a side up and had Southampton untouchable, really, in the Championship. And everyone was saying, listen, Reading will be going up, right? There's no doubt. And then they had a sloppy-ish start. I mean, they find themselves in six. I don't think Nigel Atkins would think in the Championship that's too horrendous. They're only 7 points off top, which is a completely gettable gap. 8-13, though, again, in the Championship, it's a question, is that backable? My answer for you is yes. I think it is a perfectly fair and perfectly acceptable offer to you. I mean, they haven't lost at the Medeski this season. The teams they've drawn against, Watford, a good side in the league, and Brighton, well, for me, not a good side, but the point remains that Brighton can just be solid. They've been poor teams, of which I think Millwall are one, and it's interesting because sometimes you can say, well, they've had good teams going there, and yeah, but they've beaten the poor ones. You know, they've beaten those. So if Millwall, as we consider, are a poor side, then they should be able to beat them too. So that's how I'm looking at this game. Millwall, of course, won away at Charlton this season. Other than that, they conceded 3 at Ipswich, 2 at Sheffield Wednesday, albeit they drew against them and Brighton, got battered by Birmingham, battered by Bournemouth. No done for this game. And I look at it and I just think, I can't, for the life of me, look outside the 8-13. But I've got another race to here, but it's not to 2. It's to 3. Race to 3 is 11-5, Lee. And I really like this. I really like it because of the way the Millwall have conceded 4 and 5. Now, you could argue that one thing that Steve Lomas will do this week is say, more than anything, let's just not concede loads of goals. Let's just try and keep it tight. But I think Nigel Atkins sometimes revels in that. If someone tries to keep it tight against the Nigel Atkins side, he will think, I'll rip into these boys. And they often manage to. So for me, race to 3, 11-5. Pretty good bet. I also quite like, by the way, the double result Reading, 29-20. They're in the lead at halftime against Donny and won. Lead at halftime against Birmingham and won. It took them very late, of course, to get past their leads. But also Millwall, we know that first half at the moment, they were superb against Bournemouth and actually won the first half. But they lost it against Birmingham City. And I just think, for me, Nigel Atkins sends Reading out to have a go at them. And I think that means early goals at a half-time lead. So half-time, full-time, Reading, 29-20.
So look at the Sunday game. It's not on the TV. It's Charlton versus Wigan. It's obviously on Sunday because Wigan are in Europa League action on Thursday evening. Wigan are 13-10 to win in London. 2-1 for the home team to win. And it's 21-10 the price for the draw. Charlton having a bit of a torrid time of it, really, in the Championship. They're 19th, so they're not in the relegation zone, but having a bit of a struggle compared to last year. 10 points from 11 games so far. And Wigan, we've talked a bit about Wigan. Wigan's form this season, coming back from the Europa League, and we're starting to get a little of a picture here. They went to Zulte Waregem and drew 0-0, came back and beat Ipswich 2-0. That was at home. Went and beat Maribor 3-1, came back and beat Blackburn 2-1 at home. The common denominator, obviously, Pete, there is that they were at home both times. It's the first time they've had to travel away after a midweek game, but they are at home to Ruben Kazan. A lot of people thought they wouldn't be able to cope with both, and they are doing, aren't they, to be fair to them?
Yeah, it's not looking like it's too bad. I mean, they've got an excellent win over Maribor, who are a tricky side, you know, and Tavares scored for them, a good player, but they hit 3, didn't they? And Nick Powell looked fantastic. And what I thought was also interesting was they went to Bruges to play Zulte Waregem, and drew a Zulte Waregem, came home on the Sunday and dispatched a very good Ipswich side 2-0, easy as you like. Since then, of course, battered by Man City, like you say, but kind of, who cares? Lost narrowly away at Watford, lost narrowly away the other day, of course, didn't they, against Blackpool. I think, actually, at the moment, focus for Wigan is shifting, and I think wrongly a little bit, towards the Europa League. But I want to back against Charlton non-stop this season. I have done, and I will continue to do so. I don't think the quality is there this season for me in that Charlton side. There are some good players, of course, within there. I'm not going to be silly. I mean, Marvin Sordell, if he can find his confidence, will be absolutely fantastic. Johnny Jackson's a player I'm a massive, massive fan of. Cook's good, I think, as well, although he hasn't actually started or played this season, the young lad Cook. Well, I say young lad, he's 23, but Jordan Cook could be very interesting, you know, going forward. Dorian Devitt, I think, I quite like as well. So there are players within there that are very, very good, but I just think that the squad is not quite right. And if you're looking at Wigan, you sort of just factually, how have they performed after Europa League games? Well, they after winning against Maribor, they beat Blackburn. After drawing against Lutavar again, they beat Ipswich. So their record post UEFA Europa League is 100% wins. Plus you're getting 13-10, which I think is absolutely beautiful in terms of a price. So I'm happy to pick Wigan to win this game. What I'm also going to take, though, is the Wigan and both teams to score at 15-4, Lee, because, like I say, after those games in the Europa League, it didn't land in their 2-0 win over Ipswich, but it did land against Blackburn. And away from home, there's no argument in the Championship. They've struggled to score goals. I mean, they haven't scored in the last four. So that obviously, you know, that not only puts a crimp on my Wigan and both teams to score, but it puts a crimp on the listeners thinking, you know, maybe Wigan have struggling away from home. And they are, I suppose, you know, four back-to-back losses without a goal. But I think it changes this weekend. Charlton are the ideal side for Owen Coyle to turn this around. And 15-4, Wigan and both teams to score. It goes against stats, no argument. But for me, it very much goes into logic.
Yeah, we like logic. Logic's a good thing. Let's have a look next up at the final game. It's a TV game, actually. It's Brighton versus Watford on Monday night. Brighton are currently 15th in the division with 14 points. And there's still a lot of people saying to me, oh, they might be the ones who make the break at the end of the season. Well, they need to stay in touch a little bit better. Watford, probably a little bit lower than some people would expect them to be. They've just hit a bit of an inconsistent patch where they're winning one and losing one. The prices for these two are 11-8 Brighton, 7-4 Watford, and 9-4 the price for the draw. When you look at that Watford form, it's win one, lose one, and it's been that away from home as well. They go to Barnsley and win 5-1, they lose at Blackburn, then beat Huddersfield. Are Brighton the sort of team that Watford will struggle to break down?
There is that argument, isn't there? I mean, Brighton could be one of those teams to make a bit of a charge. I mean, they have got important players to come back from long-term injuries, and as the season progresses, they'll get those back. It depends on when they're back and how long they've got to become, you know, non-rust, so to speak. Non-rusty. Non-rust? That doesn't work, does it? Shake the rust off. That's a phrase I'm looking for. But it's such a hard game, this one. And yeah, Watford have been to Blackpool, they narrowly lost, been to Blackburn and narrowly lost. And other than that, they've scored away from home, especially, you know, 5 against Barnsley, 3 against Reading, 2 against Huddersfield. I look at it, and it is a horrible game, this one. It really is. But I think I'd rather side with Watford here. And I think that with the price being with Watford, that makes it easier. And if I'm getting draw no bet Watford at 21-20... that'll do me nicely because it gives me obviously the draw and I get my money back if it is a draw. Brighton, you know, inconsistent at home, win, draw, loss. Watford away, draw, loss, win. The wins, you know, for Brighton have come, what, a superb win against Burnley. But that was before Burnley sort of exploded a little bit, wasn't it? It was just the beginning of their explosion. They took a small step back and then have gone on from there. And a Bolton side at the time were playing okay but just couldn't, for the life of them, get a result. Watford have been, what, a poor side in Barnsley and a ish side against Huddersfield. Lost against what I call mid-rangers, even though Blackpool are fifth, I consider them a mid-range side at the moment, but mid-range sides in this league can go up. And they've drawn with a good one in Reading. So it's a very, very difficult game. I mean, the both teams to score, I think, is excellent. If you want to play both teams to score, I think when you're getting the price of 4-6 and you're getting the form you've got coming into this game, that's good enough. But I think, ultimately speaking, I just think the draw no bet Watford, because it'll give me the draw anyway, which is a massive runner in this game. But I do have a feel that Watford can pit Brighton, because I think if Watford try and manage to bring Brighton into a bit of a goal fest, which Watford have done quite a bit recently with their games, you know, the Derby game, the Watford Huddersfield game, the Barnsley one, you know, you go further back in the Doncaster. If they drag them into, we'll score more than you, which is hard to do with a Brighton side. But if you manage it, you'll normally win, because at the moment, Brighton, outside of what, hitting 3 against Bolton, I'm not worried about them certainly at home scoring goals, or to be honest, away. Their form generally isn't exactly fantastic either anyway, and Watford's is much better, 3 wins from 5. So all of that put together in a pot means that the draw no bet, with that little bit of insurance, that little bit of safety, the draw no bet at 21-20 is very good, I think.
Very good. That's the championship games done and dusted. Let's have a look at Pete's best bets in the third and fourth tier of English football. League One then, Pete. Where are you going?
Well, League One, of course, saw some very intriguing results last night, didn't it? Of course, we recorded this on a Wednesday, and after the Tuesday evening, there was a lot of very intriguing games. And I think when you look at it, Lee, League One and League Two are both, certainly League Two at the moment, are both starting to really contract. And they're starting to, I think, become very, very difficult. I mean, you look at League One, okay, between outside of the top two, from Wolves in third down to what, Rotherham in ninth, there's only three wins in it. There's only 9 points in that. There's not a huge amount of difference. But for me at the moment, one team you have to be opposing is the MK Dons. And their form is not good. I mean, you look through, two wins from five, three losses. And yes, their opponents, Tranmere, aren't fantastic. They've got worse form. But Hills are offering 3-1 on Tranmere here. And draw no bet is 2-1. And at the moment, MK Dons, I think, have to unequivocally be opposed. Tranmere, of course, had a strange old game last night, didn't they? They, of course, played Rotherham United, and there was the X factor of Ronnie Moore going back to his old side, and they drew 1-1. But I think, for me, I think it's too big a price on Tranmere. I think 2-1 draw no bet is fantastic value. Well, League Two, again, is... I mean, last night... At one point last night, the team highest in the league winning was 11th. That changed a little bit towards the end of the evening, you know, winning the end for Rochdale, for example. But again, I spoke a minute ago about how tight that league was. There's only 6 points between 13th and top, which is crazy. It's crazy that it's like that. I'd love to be with Hartlepool, who have been back in, week out. They've got four back-to-back wins. And I'm going to be with Hartlepool, because they've taken on a Scunthorpe side who, despite winning 3 from 5 and get a good win against Oxford last night, I think are still strongly opposed. But it's not a huge trip for Hartlepool down to Scunthorpe, a couple of hours. And again, draw no bet, it's too big a value, 13-10. Colin Cooper and Craig Hignett seem to have got Hartlepool finally and properly sorted. There's another draw no bet, Lee, 13-10.
Very good. The both teams who scored double landed last week, as we mentioned. It was Bolton Wednesday and Northampton Dagenham. It landed nice and early as well, which is always pleasant. 11-5 that was. So I'm just dipping under 2-1 this week. I feel like I've earned it. And I'm sticking with Wednesday, as Pete mentioned. Pete gave you all the reasons why Barnsley versus Wednesday should be in your both teams to score rack, as it is short, but you know, I wouldn't shy away from that too much. 100% of Wednesday's away games, all but one of Barnsley's home games. It goes in. The other one is, I really like this one as well, Orient versus Rotherham. 100% of Orient's home games have featured both teams. They've scored in 100% of their home games. Rotherham have scored in 100% of their away games. And that one's priced up at 4-5. That's double. Sorry, 4-6.
Go very quickly on that Orient thing. We have one thing I've gone on a lot about on my time of doing this podcast is the socks up syndrome, as I call it. When your team is absolutely unstoppable, and then they get stopped. And it takes a little while to pull your socks up, doesn't it? And, I mean, Rotherham, who are their opponents this weekend, their form isn't fantastic, which is why I didn't put up as my favourite bet. Because Rotherham's form is not very good at all. But draw no bet, if someone fancies a bit of a flyer this weekend, Rotherham at 2-1 against Leighton Orient could be interesting. It's just that old socks up syndrome, which... When you are, even if you're not winning every game, but when you're not losing and you're looking unstoppable in that respect, when you are stopped, you fall apart. I mean, not fall apart, but it has to a certain extent happened with Chesterfield. I mean, they looked phenomenal, and they've been losing and drawing games, but still looking brilliant. But they lost to Mansfield, and there's no argument that in terms of form, it has stuttered. They're a very recent example of that. As much as I think they've been playing well in losing and drawing, but the point remains, in terms of results, it's still not gone that way. It's very hard to find the momentum back quickly. And I think Rotherham could be an interesting play the weekend.
Yeah, it could be. I think you're right there. That's one of the reasons why I like as well as the stats, why I like the both teams to score. I think Orient will still go for it and still can score, but I think Rotherham could get something out of this game, if not win it. So the double pays 9-5, 13-20, and a 4-6. The price is there at 9-5. Let's get a nap then. Neither of us hit the target last week, unfortunately. So Pete goes to -68, and I go to +63. Where are you going this week, Pete?
Derby Racing 2.
I thought you were making out the Skype line had dropped then.
No.
That's a terrible ploy.
Derby Racing 2. They're scoring goals for fun at the moment, Lee. I mean, if you look at the last three games, as we said earlier on, 9 goals in 3 games that they've scored. Birmingham haven't scored in the last 4 away. They've lost the race to 2 on the last 3 occasions. Their defence looks shaky on the road. If you saw Lee Clark's face in that loss to Leeds, it looked like someone had taken the best cherry from his pie. He was absolutely fuming at that. And I look at that and I think just for Derby to score twice, which they're doing a lot, and do it before Birmingham, who aren't scoring at all, like even money is a very good race to 2.
Yeah, very nice. I'll give you a little bit of an insight into my train of thought here. The game I've picked is Barnsley versus Sheffield Wednesday. Here's how I thought. Chris O'Grady, I like him. He scored 2 in the game against Middlesbrough. He scored 1 at home against Reading as well. He scored at home against Huddersfield. So, you know, he's scoring goals and likes to score at home. 6-4. I thought, that's nice. I thought, what about Chris O'Grady? Because I like Barnsley to win, as you do. What about Chris O'Grady and Barnsley to win? 11-4. That's him any time. And I thought, yeah, but then what about Barnsley and over 2.5 goals, 5-2? And then I saw Barnsley to win, both teams to score, 7-2. So there's, I think all 4 of those could land.
I put that Barnsley and both teams to score up as well. I think it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, I like all of them. I mean, you know, Chris O'Grady any time might be the best bet of them all, because obviously you don't have to count on the result. But I just think that Barnsley, I've got something over them. I think, to be honest with you, you can't bet on this, but I think Wednesday might just go over the edge. And as Pete was saying, I think there might even be a red card. There was a red card in this fixture last time. I think if Wednesday's discipline starts to disappear, then they could suffer on that side of it as well. So I'll go Barnsley to win, both teams to score at 7-2.
And I do think, you know, I don't like talking about managers getting fired, Lee, but there's no doubt that Dave Jones has got to be on the edge, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he's got to that stage, really, where the players aren't... there's no massive evidence of the players really playing for him, is there? You know, it's not like the kind of siege mentality and they're all digging in for the manager.
There was an improvement on Saturday. There certainly was an improvement on Saturday from him in terms of going for the game, but I know what you're saying, generally speaking, it hasn't. On Saturday, it did look lot better for them, but I'm not convinced.
Pete, I think the Skype thing's worked. We'll find out when I start to edit it. Thanks for your time. We'll speak to you next week. Pete will be on InPlay Radio over the course of the next few days as well, talking about the English football and the foreign football as well. InPlayRadio.co.uk is how you tune into that. You can download this podcast on the William Hill website, on iTunes, and at Audio Boo, where it's in much better quality. Don't ask me why, it just is. Good luck if you're having a bet on the Championship, League One or League Two this weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.